Welcome back, guys. DGS 205. If you're listening on 1120 AM, check out 98.7 FM. If you want to have perfect, stellar digital sound, download the Odyssey app. Also, you can podcast from there. We appreciate it. We get literally millions of downloads every year. Steve Moore, my boss, was saying he was just on a big national call, and they mentioned two shows in the entire universe of Odyssey, which is 370 stations worldwide, and we were one of them.
Nice.
Sweet.
Congrats, Dave. That's
They're
cool.
They're like, yeah, there's some bald hayseed out there in Missouri who's really killing it on the podcast.
Somewhere in flyover country.
I wonder what the other show was.
I don't know.
Just curious.
Yeah, don't know.
Hold on, getting a text from Phoebe. Everything stops.
Did you tell them about...
Just play the music again.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you tell them about the podcast call yet?
Before I go into my whole universe and physics thing, which I think you're going to find interesting, it's not too much in the weeds today. Perfect segue is Andrew. Mm-hmm. Feeling the effects of gravity. Yeah. Can you tell this story?
Sure. So I, wife and I went swimming in the lake over the weekend when we went down there, and I was in the water for 3.5-ish probably hours, which is the longest I've been in the water for. I don't even know how long.
Being very buoyant.
Yeah. And essentially weightless in the, you know, deep waters of the lake. And then when I clambered, hoved back up on the beach, I felt the weight of gravity on my... I was like, my stomach was like pulling me forward. I was like, oh, geez.
he pulled 1G.
Yeah. I did not expect that at all. Like, I had forgotten about it. And I'm like, oh, geez.
Pulled 1G and two muscles.
And it lasted for like 3 seconds, but it was like, oh, my. That's an uncomfortable feeling.
My normal state is too much for me. I love it. Astronauts get taller in space, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
The weightlessness, like...
Yeah, that's the thing. That's one of the main things that still needs to be overcome for deeper space travel, is how does your body react to weightless? Now, I know the work would be you try to create gravity, right? But I don't know that we can do that yet.
Not very well.
Right. I mean, because the idea is it rotates, and the spinning simulates gravity, but I don't know that we can do it on that massive scale.
Perfect segue into this thought. So I was watching something last night about the great cosmic filter. Have you ever heard that term before? It basically is that, is there some sort of a filter on civilizations in the universe? Meaning, is there some kind of a filter? It could be natural, like asteroids, you know, that happened 65 million years ago here on Earth. It could be that when you reach a certain level of intelligence and sentience, you kill yourself, you blow yourself up, you know, you fight wars. It could be gamma rays, could be something else. And if there is a filter, this was the part that really intrigued me. Which side of the filter are we on? Have we made it through the great cosmic filter? And we are one of the possibly first intelligent species that's possible. You know, the universe has been around for 13 plus billion years, but it takes a while to bake a cake.
Yeah.
That was really interesting to me, that we could be one of the first civilizations to make it through the filter, or we could be on the other side of the filter. We're about to get filtered out by an asteroid, or Kim Jong-un hits the button and Putin hits his button, we hit our button, and the next thing you know, it's back to the cockroaches. Perfectly possible. Then, have you ever heard of the civilization types 1, 2, and 3? Civilization type 1 means you're a planetary species. You can control the energy of your planet. Every resource you have, you can make the most of. And civilization type 2 is a star planet. You can harness all the energy of the sun, of your star. Usually done. It's probably never been done.
Right. Theoretically.
Theoretically done with something called a Dyson sphere, which is something that literally a structure that you build that goes around your star, goes around your sun. That would be like a Star Trek kind of civilization.
Right.
Type 3 civilization is galactic. You could build one of these things to go around the supermassive black hole in your galaxy. You could go anywhere in your galaxy. You can go to other galaxies. That would be like Star Wars. So you want to guess where we are along the way?
Well, we haven't reached one yet, right?
0.72.
Yeah.
We're 0.72. So we're close to being a civilization
level
one.
Yeah.
And it would take approximately, according to the scientists' own calculations, 50,000 years to become two, to become Star Wars, and 100,000 years to become three, which doesn't sound like that long.
No.
Until you start thinking about the great cosmic filter. Can you imagine us, anything like as we are, making it 50,000 or 100,000 years?
I mean, it hasn't really, how many, well... Say some, the dinosaurs lasted millions of years. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if that, I don't know how much that translates, whether it does or doesn't.
Yeah, they weren't wiped out by natural forces for hundreds of millions of years.
Right, right. So yeah, it's a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Give us that, and you, who knows what's possible. The only thing that can change it, right, change that course would be outside intervention, right? This is all assuming that it comes from within.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, if the prankster aliens we're talking about show up, do the pull your finger joke, then they're like, okay, here's a Dyson sphere.
Instead of Johnny Knoxville, it's Johnny Alpha Centauri.
Right.
Yeah, barring outside intervention, like, you know, another species or another version of us that exists, some, you know, has existed somehow, barring outside intervention, that's just if we did it ourselves. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is the more likely scenario. I mean, let's be honest. We know something's going on. There are unidentified, you know, craft in our airspace. That has been acknowledged and admitted, and it's on video. What we just don't know is what the nature of that is.
Another interesting little factoid, I thought, was when would an alien civilization have known for the very first time that we even existed? Because we've been around for the better part of 500,000 years, probably, and modern humans for a couple hundred thousand years. But it wasn't until Marconi sent out the first radio wave in the late 1800s and the lights turned on for the first time, which would have been late 1800s, I believe, as well, Gilded Age. That's the first time that any sort of a telescope or a sensor would have picked us up.
Mm. Barring something that would be like civilizations advanced enough to have in who knows when millions of years ago been able to detect like we can detect, you know, the Goldilocks planets around
gases and
right
such.
They could have detected planets that could support life,
or if they're here watching,
that's what I mean, and then sent probes, who knows, whatever. But yes, it's fascinating when you think of that it could only be a couple hundred years that the rest of the universe could see signs that something is going out.
Here's another thing that's much closer to home. I apologize to any Latter-day believers out there, the Mormon Church, but it's my understanding that when they were moving from where they were west, when they hit Independence, Missouri, Smith said this was the Garden of Eden. And to this day, most, if not all, believe that that is literally the Garden of Eden in Independence, Missouri. And then I was reading an article today, I had never heard this before, that there was a big push in the 1950s that the actual Garden of Eden was in the Florida Panhandle, and it still persists today. There's a state park, I believe, that was built there, but in the 50s, before it was built, a fire and brimstone preacher found it, said, this is the true Adam and Eve, this is the true Garden of Eden, here's the tree where the serpent was, here's this, here's that, and tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people believed it. And still to this day, it persists. I thought that was interesting.
Independence, Missouri should fight back on that. They should be like, hey,
we're
the Garden of Eden.
I thought the Garden of Eden was being guarded by an angel with a flaming sword.
Yeah, that's what the book says.
Mm. So you would think that if it's...
You'd notice that in Independence, Missouri?
Yes. Yeah, it'd be kind of noteworthy. Like, you know how they have, like, you drive down the highway, like, the world's biggest spool of yarn. And be like, we have an angel!
We have a seraphim!
With a big old sword!
Just a toothless guy and a life beater with a chainsaw. And they're like, that must be it.
There he is. There's the cherubim.
Wasn't the Fountain of Youth also believed by the Spanish to be
Ponce
in Florida?
Ponce de Leon. Yeah. In Florida, yeah.
They get all the fun. They get Disney World, get the Fountain of Youth.
It's pretty nice down there.
The Garden of Eden.
Wheels is like, it's not too shabby.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Did you guys go to the Everglades much?
I mean, there's not much to go there for unless you're going on. Like, so the science-based students, which was not me, they would do things out there, you know, out in the quote-unquote in the Everglades. We drove through the Everglades. I went to a casino in the Everglades.
Close enough.
Yeah, I played blackjack in the Everglades.
There you go.
So, fun. You know. No, but it's like it's around you literally everywhere. That's why it's so humid and horrible down in South Florida.
Mm-hmm. Well, there ends the science class for the day.
Yeah.
That was interesting, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah.
You are welcome.
I like science. Why do I like science more now than I did? You know, I know why. I know why I like science more now than I did back then, because I don't have to do any of the math now.
Yeah.
You know, in school, when you have to do all the math, I'm like, no, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Plus, when someone's seemingly forcing you to learn,
yeah,
it's mm-hmm. such a different thing.
Yeah, but even like now, like I don't like go, you know what I really want to do? I want to do all those physics calculations that we had to do back then. I just want to hear other people's stories of doing those things.
Did you hear the other space news about Mars?
No.
How they're thinking that Mars might not be attainable anymore at the moment until we solve this, because I guess being in space can cause kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're thinking that we won't be able to, humans couldn't make it all the way to Mars in a spacecraft because their kidneys would just give out, or it would cause, like, you know, irreparable damage to the kidneys that would make, you know, any sort of quality of life once arrival in Mars, like, they wouldn't be able to work, they wouldn't be able to farm.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'd essentially be in pretty serious
renal failure.
Certainly
sounds like a miserable existence if they can figure it out.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, think about all of the explorers in the history of humankind that mm-hmm. have gone to places on Earth that nobody had been before, and how terrible those stories were, and how sick people got. And now multiply that by what? A trillion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I know one of the issues is also radiation in deep space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have anything at all protecting you other than whatever your ships
Van
are made
Allen
of.
Belt. Mm-hmm.
But also you have the question about, like, fast moving particles in space, things that are the size of a grain of sand would go right through you, would go right through the ship, barring some kind of shielding, which I guess would be some electromagnetic shielding that could
deflect
those things. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure that I think we know how to do it. I just don't know. Again, I don't know if it's scaled up to be like, yep, let's go.
You know how people say that all this badness in the world started with baby Mr. Peanut?
Yes.
I think it's when we got rid of Pluto. When we downgraded Pluto and said it's no longer a planet.
Disney Pluto.
No.
I'm like, he's still there.
No. That stupid dog can kiss my ass. I never liked Pluto.
Yeah, no one cares about that dog.
No, or Goofy. Something about Disney.
What about
Goofy? Why is Goofy, like, sentient and speaking and Pluto's not?
It's a good point.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I think that's where we went off the rails.
Could be right. 224 DGS on KMOX. So you tried to hack?
I did.
What?
I tried a hack that I learned on the TikTok.
Oh, I thought you said you tried to hack, like he's trying to hack a computer.
No.
Wow.
So good.
I tried to hack, because, you know, like,
there
are a million of those things on TikTok. Like, hey, did you know you could just do this? And most of the things are things I would be like, all right, I never do that, so I don't need to know that. But then I saw one of the dudes, I think it's the Are You Telling Me in 40 Years guy, because he does a lot of, have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
I think it was him, but apparently, I bought grapes yesterday. Apparently, if you just take grapes and you hold it by the stem, the base of the stem, and then you put a Ziploc around it, and then you just shake it, they all fall off, and it does. It works. I have been plucking them off there like an idiot my entire life, like one at a time. Like,
you fool.
I know!
You idiot. You absolute clod.
And I saw that the other day, and I'm like, I was his reaction. I'm like, there's no way that's real, because everybody would do it.
Right.
And they just fell off in like 3 seconds. Just what the hell? How did I not know that?
Have we always had hacks? We just called them something different.
I think so. Yeah, we probably called them like tricks or, you know,
yeah,
techniques or whatever. But like, how does that just not, like, normal everyday common knowledge that, yeah, you buy a bunch of grapes and then you just
sometimes
shake it.
Sometimes I get so tired from pulling the grapes off, I stop eating them.
Yeah.
Too much work.
And I was like, I don't want to pull every one of you guys.
Like, for my whole life, I was some dumb monkey, just like one at a time. And 3 seconds, the entire bag of grapes was off the vine and in a bag just ready to eat.
Was there anything more luxurious that you would see in the movies than when, like, a king or something is sitting on his throne and someone brings him the grapes
and they're feeding
from the vine?
Yeah.
That's the standard.
Or you just hold the vine and you eat them off there. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
I've done that. I've done
it too.
So there's a way to save money on your wedding?
Well, this was suggested by the Atlantic, not the Athletic, which would be really weird if they were giving wedding advice. So their suggestion is to save money by eliminating plus ones.
Oh,
so all of your single friends and single family members, just eliminate that because it's an added cost. I'm like, you're just basically telling the single people you know not to come.
Yeah, I've been to weddings by myself before. Not fun. Not a fun experience. It's very nice to have someone with you.
Like, just invite fewer people.
Yeah, like, that's just saying if you want to save money, don't have as many people at your wedding.
Right.
But, like, instead of doing that, though, don't make it, like, all of your single friends. And, like, depending on age, too. Like, when I got married, all my friends were single. Was I going to tell every one of them, yep, come by yourself? Mm-hmm. Now, in fairness.
Plus, that's where a lot of people meet. They're new people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's very simple, right? Instead of inviting 200 people, invite 150 people. But don't single out the people that aren't married and say, yep, guess what? You get to show up solo.
Did nobody ask you to dance, Rach?
It was a Christian wedding, so there wasn't dancing.
What?
Oh.
But it was just,
they don't dance?
Going, some Christians don't, some do. Okay.
Did no one ask you to pray with them?
Actually, no. No one did. No, just it's
pardon
not
me,
fun.
But I was about to read 2 Chronicles, and you're real pretty. And, tell me why. Welcome back, guys. DGS 234. We're out of here today at 4:10 to make way for the Cardinal pregame and then the game at 5:10 against the Marlins. We have a couple of legal things going on in the world, so we ask our attorney friend Brad Young to join us. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave. You know, anytime I hear that song, I'm sorry, but I always think of Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah. Forever.
Every time.
You know what? You just gave me a great Sweet 16. We'll have to flesh out how we phrase it, but songs inextricably tied to a scene. That's a great one.
Maybe best use of song in a movie?
Shut up, Andrew. just kidding. You know, don't try to top Brad Young.
Man, there's a lot of good ones from Caddyshack, because obviously you got the Kenny Loggins gopher. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Gopher.
So, Brad, let's talk bump stocks. I did not look into this in any great detail because I have you, but it seems to me to be sort of an example of like the letter of the law, the spirit of the law, how they make their decisions about what is an automatic weapon. Walk us through it.
Well, it's not really complicated, and you're exactly right, Dave. That is exactly what this is, the letter of the law. And what the court did, 6-3 decision, the court went and looked at how does U.S. law define what is an automatic weapon, what is a machine gun. And under Section 26 U.S.C., it was passed in 1934, National Firearms Act. It defines a machine gun as a weapon that shoots more than one shot by a single function of the trigger, unquote. And so bump stocks gets around that. It allows someone to literally fire almost like an automatic weapon, but the trigger is just because of the motion of the bump stock when a round is ejected, it allows the trigger to be pushed faster than a human finger could push the trigger. Mm-hmm. So because of that, it gets the effect of an automatic weapon, even though it's under federal law, it's not an automatic weapon. But it really goes beyond what you just said. And whenever you say, is it about the letter of the law? It is. But it's also about, go back to law school 101. The executive branch cannot make law. It only interprets and applies the law and enforces the law. So in this instance, the Biden administration said, actually it was the Trump administration, said that bump stocks made it an automatic weapon, which contravened what federal law says is an automatic weapon. Mm-hmm. So the court said, listen, federal agency, you cannot rewrite law. That's not how the Constitution works. This has to come from Congress.
Which is a great civics lesson, since we don't teach civics anymore. But basically, you need the lawmakers, and there's nothing stopping them. They can make a law today that says bump stocks are illegal, and here's why.
Not only can they do that, but states can do that. Any state in the country, since federal law under the Supremacy Clause, as you well know, it says that if the states can regulate anything that's not already regulated by the federal government. Federal government's not regulating bump stocks, so therefore any state could pass a law tomorrow making bump stocks illegal, as could the federal government.
And there's some rumblings going on with Kim Gardner, and she may be talking to the auditors. What do we know about that?
Well, the joke a couple of weeks ago was everyone was playing the song Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego and putting Kim Gardner's name in there because they couldn't find her. And so what we learned during the past week is that the auditor's office, Scott Fitzpatrick's office, basically hired a private investigator previously to follow her around when she was still the circuit attorney, and found that she was doing all kinds of things other than being the circuit attorney. In fact, in one instance, when the judge in the circuit court was calling the circuit attorney's office a, quote, rudderless ship of chaos, unquote, which is one of my favorite lines of all time. At that very moment, because no one from her office had showed up, she was taking nursing classes and was over at, I believe, SLU, St. Louis University, taking classes to be a nurse. So the most recent info, though, they found her. We didn't really see how they found her, but she showed up. She was questioned. And presumably now that that's happened, the audit reports are going to be released, and we'll find out just how messed up that office really was.
Brad, would you hold your breath or not that there could be any charges filed against her? Do you think just politically that would be such a hot potato?
Yeah, if I were betting on this, I would say it's slim to none that there's going to be any charges coming out of it. There could be, but I think if there were going to be charges coming out, we would have already heard about that from a leak somewhere in the auditor's office. And if that were the case, I don't think Kim Gardner would have shown up at all. She wouldn't have, because they could have just slapped the cuffs on her right there.
Very true.
So I don't really foresee anything happening there, but I'll tell you what, it's not going to be pretty. And even if it's not criminal, it's not going to be favorable.
Brad, one more question. We didn't prep you for this at all, but just spitball it for me, if you will.
Sorry.
The Surgeon General has suggested putting no smoking type warnings for social media for kids. How's that hit you?
It hits me as unenforceable. And let me tell you why. When you put on a warning on a pack of cigarettes, the person who's consuming that pack of cigarettes is going to see that, presumably see that warning. But the problem is with social media, the consumer is the kids, but the parents are the ones who have to enforce it. Mm. And the parents are never going to see that warning. So is a kid going to care that there's a warning on an Instagram app? The kid's not going to care at all. So to me, I think until we get to the point, and I'm not advocating this in any way, but the only way you could actually enforce something would be that there would have to be some sort of a parental notification or a parental okay before the kid could even use any social media. And then the warning would appear right there. And I just don't see that happening.
And just practically, like, I want to meet the parent out there who would need a warning, you know?
Sure. Yeah. What parent doesn't know that social media is really harming our kids mentally, physically, in every way, relationally, in every way possible? It really is hurting our kids. And I've got my kids are, my youngest is still in college, but even they're just glued to their phones. And of course, it's a problem. What parent doesn't know that? But then again, what person in America doesn't know that cigarettes are harmful? And, you know, I got relatives in Southern Illinois that are still choking them down about two packs a day.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Such a smart guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Next time I kill a dude, I'm calling him.
Yeah.
Have you heard this terrible story? It's just one story, but I'm sure it's indicative of millions of cases. The story about this 11-year-old dancer. Have you heard this?
No.
So there's this little girl. She's 11 years old. Now I think she's older, but still a teen. And she put up an Instagram through her mom. You can only have one if your parent is like a co-sponsor of it, basically. I don't have an Instagram. And she is a dancer. And so she was dancing, and immediately all these companies started reaching out and saying, hey, will you wear our dance outfits? And we're going to send them to you for free. And they couldn't be happier. And then they kind of blew up and went viral. And then they did their demographics. And it turns out that 92% of the viewers were adult men. And about the same percentage of the comments were things like, try it without the skirt, blah, 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 blah. And the mom just kept going because she said it was so successful and making so much money. And she was wondering out loud, kind of why this story has gone viral, whether she did the right thing or not. And everyone at the same time screamed, no, you're not doing the right thing. You are basically virtually trafficking your daughter for old pedophile men.
Yeah, it's extremely disturbing. There are many such cases where moms are essentially trafficking their kids, like you said. And since they're making money, they think they're justified in what they're doing. And it's disgusting. And I think we need, more so than we need any sort of warning, like, hey, if you spend too much time on social media, it's bad for your mental health. We need rules around posting children and monetizing children. Because whenever you start to make money off of it, that's going to make these terrible parents push the limit. There are mothers and fathers who will put their daughter's measurements up on the internet and sell their clothing, sell their swimming suits and their dance outfits.
Lord.
Who is buying this stuff?
Well, that's,
I mean,
who's buying it.
That's an easier answer to me
than who's selling it. I mean, that's crazy that you could. That's monstrous. The average now for teens and preteens is 5 to 7 hours a day on social media. That's not the internet, social media itself. More hours on the internet.
Yeah, because there was a survey that came out that showed like what sites teens even use, and 92% of all, I think it's teens worldwide, use YouTube. So that's not even like a social media platform necessarily. That's just time
that's like watching
spent
on TV.
Online. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And parents are saying, "What can we do? Our hands are tied. There's nothing we can do."
That's not true.
That's a lie.
We cannot tell our 15-year-old that she's going to be the only 15-year-old without social media. But I mean, they told us we couldn't smoke. They didn't say back in the 70s, like, well, I don't know, my 10-year-old just loves Marlboro, so what are you going to do? You can't stop him.
Well, I mean, you don't have to take social media away entirely, but you can set up boundaries that your child has to abide by. That's called being a parent.
You know what'll be interesting? So Phoebe's 19. She's had social media for years now, and we're pretty careful with it. We're not snooping, but we're pretty careful. We have a pretty good relationship with Phoebe. She tells us way too much. but it'll be interesting to see how these kids parent when it comes to whatever social media is in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that, like, as an example, I just pulled up on my phone. You can set time limits for apps on the phone. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of ways that you can check it, the amount of time spent after the fact. You can tell your kids, here's the deal. If I see that you're on social media more than this amount per week, and I'm going to check every Saturday or every Sunday, then you're losing the privilege. And it's just like anything else. How did our parents monitor what we did? It was the threat of, if you're doing too much, how long have we talked about how you can't just sit and watch TV all the time?
Mm-hmm.
We know this is the same idea.
Same idea.
If your kid spends too much time watching TV, well, that's on you. Take it away.
My mom and dad would just literally turn the TV off and say, get your butt outside.
Yes. And we monitored it with my kid. Now, again, it wasn't when she was young what social media is now. It's grown. I mean, she's 27, so she's not that old. But when she was 13, none of this stuff was what it is now.
Thank God.
But we still paid attention. Like, all it takes is a few steps. You can pay attention to what's happening without, quote unquote, spying. It's the same way that my dad would check the speedometer on my car if I was, you know, if he knew I was going somewhere, and he would tell me, hey, you're going there. That's fine. But don't be just going other places. Don't be driving. And he would know if I did. It was a similar idea.
Lights go down in the city.
Some fun facts.
Yes.
This one's very interesting. In Minnesota, a police officer can no longer ask, do you know why I pulled you over?
Oh, why? Did they explain?
Yeah, it's considered to be phishing, and it could lead to someone making an admission against interest without being Mirandized. You know, it could be I was speeding. Because I got drugs in my trunk. Like, you can't just walk up and ask for a confession.
That's good.
I always thought that. As somebody who is riding dirty in, like, three or four different ways at any given point in time. Like, if he had, like, for example, my stupid tag being out of date, if he hasn't noticed that or isn't going to notice it, and then he walks up and says, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" And it's because I had a taillight out. And then I go, because of my tag. I just gave him more information than he had, than he noticed. His job to notice.
Never even thought of it but normally I would just like, well, not really sure.
Golly gee Willikers, yeah. Officer.
Even though it's because I was speeding.
Someone has completed a marathon inside a Taco Bell.
What?
Oh, I saw this girl.
Yeah. Can you explain it?
I just saw it on TikTok. I think she was on one of those portable treadmills. Yeah. And, you know, just suited up every day and went in there and
took her 10 hours and 3 minutes and 58,000 steps.
I've eaten way more tacos over 10 hours. That's not impressive.
For some reason, I was thinking it was like a days long thing. Mm. I might be stupid.
For 6 weeks.
That's how long it takes me to run a marathon.
Right. I'd still be running one from March.
New study finds that people who stay up past 1 a.m. are making a terrible choice for their mental health, even if you consider yourself a night owl. Everyone has higher rates of mental illness and disorders if they stay up past 1 a.m.
Well,
you're done.
I'm okay.
I do think mentally I am, because I used to be one of those people. I used to be like, when the show was on later in the day and I didn't have to be here as early, I would stay up until like 1:30 in the morning and then sleep until like 10 or 11. And
look at you.
I'm honestly, now that I'm like in bed by 10:30 and up at 7 every day, I do actually feel a little better.
Yeah. Makes sense.
I don't know. Maybe it's more sunlight or something. I don't know.
I'm just a night watcher.
There's a town in Nevada on the way from Southern California to Vegas called Gene, with a casino and the world's largest Chevron gas station, but not a single person lives in town. Not one person lives there. Everyone who works there lives in other towns and commutes.
Why is it a town,
though? Yeah, right. Mm. I guess for legal reasons.
This sounds like a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
I will not be going to the Chevron.
Yeah. Chevron or is it the casino that got the town name? I bet it's a casino thing.
You know when you call dibs?
Mm-hmm. Dibs, yeah.
Know where it comes from?
Dibbles.
A children's game from the 1600s called dibstones. Sort of like jacks, and kids would try to win a little piece of animal bone by yelling dibs.
Nice.
They would just yell it?
I got dibs.
Dibs.
How in the world does that last that long?
And someone gives you a bone?
From 1600.
It's lasted 400 years.
Yeah. Playing for little animal bones.
So people were like calling dibs during the Civil War.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, since 1600, right?